and mentor, Reverend Bobby Gwynn.
God bless you, Pastor. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning, sir.
Amen. I thank God for this opportunity. Amen. My Father, and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, the head of my life.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I want to say this morning before we go into prayer that to Pastor and to Minister Smith, to the deacons and to those that are here in the house of God, thank you for being here this morning.
Amen.
And I'll go into that a little later. But this morning, let's go ahead and get to the Word of God. I'm going to read the scripture so you can be seated, and then we'll move on into that. If you turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter.
All right.
Of Matthew's, we want to read verses 26. We're going to do 25 to 30. And we're going to focus on the last three of them. Amen.
Amen.
It reads, if everyone found it, let us say amen. Those that have in Matthew 11, 25 through 30, we will read. We're going to focus on the last three. Amen.
All right.
It reads as follows. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father. For so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Mm-hmm. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I say sometime, I can't speak for every minister of God, but there are times that you wrestle with a sermon. As time would seem like God don't want to give you anything.
Talk now.
And it just seemed like everything you come across, to you it seems so good, but it just seemed like God won't let you speak on it.
Right.
You know, I find myself in that time. I said, Lord, you know, I was on the schedule. I knew I was on the schedule months before. What are you waiting on? I've been looking and seeking and thinking and wondering all this time, and now the time has come.
Right.
What are we going to do?
All right.
See, you have to understand that I take very serious ministering the Word of God. Because I know I will be held accountable for everything I say and do. So I want you to know I don't stand lightly before you as just to tell you something and say, okay, I told them and they didn't do it. No, because I understand that God holds me responsible. You know, so it's kind of like if you went to a restaurant and I serve you bad food, you're not going to go three doors down and talk to them about it.
No.
You're coming back to the same person that served you the bad food, amen?
Right.
You want to find out why did you make me so sick? Mm-hmm. Well, it could be the same thing with the Word of God, amen? Because, see, many times people are said something or told something but not explained anything.
That's right.
See, so I'm not going to be long before you this morning. That's one thing that I'm not going to do. I'm going to be very short. Hopefully I will be. But I want to talk to you about your burden bearer and your heavy load lifter. Because when I look here and I wanted to focus on this beginning with this 28th verse. But the reason I read that 25th verse is because the Lord allowed his disciples to kind of get a peep into what he was talking about. So here in this 28, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But see, now, this is the thing. When I find myself in this place and I feel like I don't have any rest, and I start to read this word, I start to kind of ask myself, where's the rest? But now he goes on and clarified for you, and we're gonna get back to that a little bit too, because let me say, a burden, and we're gonna get that, so I wanna open this up real quick. See, a burden is anything pressing on one physically.
All right.
And laden is to bear or to be full.
Uh-huh.
So now that we know those two, we want to look here at what he said. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me.
That's right.
So he's using here a farming analogy. Amen. Because what a farmer would do, he would take a yoke.
All right.
That yoke is a wooden bar that he put around the oxen necks.
Right.
But the thing that he would do, he would always have an experienced oxen, and he'd hook a young one to him.
That's right. That's right.
So that the experienced ox would teach the young ox how to plow.
Yeah.
Oh, can I get a witness this morning?
Amen. Go ahead.
See, when I yoke myself to Jesus, see, he want to teach me how to be like him, to reflect his character. Oh, see, when I'm yoked, I can't go the way I want to go. See, that's the thing about being hooked to that experienced ox. He's going to go straight. He's going to plow straight. So, the farmer, his master that's standing behind him holding the plow, can see that the furrows are straight and nothing is out of line. But see, the young oxen would get a little distracted times. He want to look to the left or right, and he wants to pull to the right or to the left. But see, the experienced ox says, no, 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 we don't do that. You got to stay straight in line. Well, that is the same way that when we yoke ourselves to Christ.
All right, go ahead.
Every time that we get a little distracted, and you say, well, preacher, you know, I since I've been yoked, I don't let too many things distract me.
All right.
Well, you know, I wish I had a burden-free, distracted life.
Well.
But I don't. There's many things that cause themselves to try to distract us. Amen. The world is full of them. You see, but every time that the thing about the young oxen, let me finish with him, we can get to that. The thing about that young ox, see, he think he can be distracted and stay straight.
Well.
Kind of like we do. We think we can be burdened down, distracted, and still do what God called us to do.
All right.
But we can't. See, he said that you're going to find rest. And he said that he's going to cause you, he said, yoke with me and learn of me.
That's right.
For I'm meek and lowly in heart. See, he's willing, the experienced oxen are really willing to humble himself. He's willing to be in a state of humility. See, most time that people that we run into, they don't want to have to do with anything with humility. Because to them, humility seems like being second place.
Yeah, exactly.
Pride says you got to be first. You have to be like the drum major. You got to be the first thing in line. But humility says that you are willing, when wrong, to suffer the wrong.
Well.
He said, not because you're weak, but because you're firm and secure in who you are and whose you are. See, when yoked with the master, your walk is going to be like his walk. What he's going to teach you is of him, how he's willing to suffer wrong, how he's willing to take upon himself that he don't deserve. See, if I'm learning well, I don't have to go through it time and time again. You see, it's just like a father trying to teach a son. He instructed him in over and over again and of things don't do and how to do things. But when the son decided he's going to do it his way, the father has to resort to that thing they call chastisement.
That's it.
Oh, we might know a little something about that. whenever they reach and get the belt, all the talking is over with. Now here comes the compromise. You try to explain, oh, daddy, you got to understand. I wouldn't have, a brother wouldn't have done this, a sister wouldn't have said that. But when you're on your way to the woodshed, there ain't no way that you're going to stop it. See, somebody says, well, God wouldn't do that. See, to the young oxen, what the master does when he decides to make the Pharaoh crooked, he has on that on the side there a whip. He reaches and get it, and you hear him going, whack. Well, now, he don't hit the experienced ox. He hit the young one because he's wanting to do what he wants to do.
That's right.
Immediately, you see him straighten up. Because when he hears the shoot before it comes down, he's walking right again.
All right.
Oh, you think I'm talking about the oxen this morning. But I'm talking about us. When we don't want to do what we know is right to do. But we want to do what we want to do. See, when I'm yoked with him, I don't have that opportunity anymore. When I decide that I was going to yoke myself and become yoked with him, I gave up my right to wander left and right. To go crooked. Because now the only way he goes is straight. Amen. So see, here in 2 Corinthians 4:17, we'll take a look at that real quick. So we're all fine. It says, for our light afflictions is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory.
That's
right. See, we said in the beginning that a burden is a weight or anything pressing on one physically. So we see here when I'm yoked with Christ, he shows me the future of what I can expect because that light affliction is working for me. He says that it's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, before I yoked up with him, my burden was heavy. I don't know about you. They were weighing me down. I labored hard and wasn't going anywhere. But see, when I yoked with him, the burden became light. See, he became my burden bearer, my heavy load lifter. He became the one that was able to keep me in a feeling like that life wasn't worth living. I don't know if you ever been there when you're trying to figure out, well, what is this all about? When you're doing the same thing over and over and over again and seem to accomplish nothing. Oh, so you wake up and you seem like you're just existing. You're not living.
Well,
see, he's the burden bearer. He's the one to come and establish life for you. See, the reason why things were going on that way that I didn't realize, I don't want to say that you didn't, but I didn't realize was this, that I didn't have life. I kept looking for life. I felt like I was existing. I didn't feel, what was life all about?
Well,
but see, the thing about it was, life is in him.
Uh-huh.
When I yoked with him, guess what? I found life.
That's it.
Oh, I found the thing that I was looking for. See, I come to realize, yeah, I was dead. Spiritually. Though my heart was beating and my eyes was opening every morning, I was just dead as I could be. But I found out that in him is life. And that life he gives to every man. So when I thought about him being my burden bearer,
okay.
I wanted to find out what someone else had to say about him. We're not going to be too much longer because let me tell you, Isaiah said it like this. In Isaiah 53:4, he says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. See, he decided when I yoked with him, before I yoked with him, that he was going to carry those burdens that I couldn't carry. He was going to bear that weight that I couldn't lift. See, and the good thing about being yoked with him, he carries all of that. If you notice when the farmer yoked the young oxen with the old oxen, the thing about it is all of the weight is on the old oxen.
All right.
The young oxen is just along for the ride. He's learning how to walk the way the experienced ox is walking. He's not carrying any burdens. See, when we find ourselves today carrying our burdens, when we're burdened down and under all these different weights and all these different things going on in our lives, we feel like every life is just pushing us down. See, we're no longer yoked together with him. We decide that we're going to loose the yoke and step outside.
That's right.
Because life is pushing us down. At every turn, we find ourselves having some kind of issue going on, and we feel like trouble is always on our side. Trouble is always after us. Amen. Every day we find ourselves saying something different is happening. But you have to understand, those things are happening to do one thing. It's to bring you into the very image of his son.
That's right.
See, when you don't see it as an opportunity to grow,
that's right,
an opportunity to look more like him,
uh-huh,
then you decide to disconnect yourself from the yoke. And you decided you're going to be able to handle the weight all by yourself. You already decided that no matter what come, you're able to handle it. But then you find that the weight is a little too heavy. See, I don't know if you ever exercised before. If you ever been in a gym lifting weights, you know that was always a day when I was there that I always had what I call my max day. My max day meant that I was going to a certain amount of weight that I hadn't lifted before.
Well,
I had accomplished a weight before, but I hadn't been to this weight. So what I would do, I wouldn't go get someone that had just walked in the gym.
All right.
I'd go get an experienced lifter, and I'd say to him, do you have time to come spot me? Because, see, I knew that if I couldn't get it up, I had somebody there to assist me that knew how to assist me. Because I've seen those that came in looking like they could work out. Had on the right apparel and had the right look. And then you ask them about spotting you, and the first thing he's doing, he's standing there telling you how you can lift it when it's not moving. Well, that wasn't what you call him over for. You call him to give you a spot. Meaning when the weight got stuck and I couldn't go anymore, you need to bump it a little bit.
All right. Talk
now. Now, when you did that, I was able to keep it moving. Yep. But see, that's the way life is.
All right.
See, when you disconnect yourself, you don't have a spotter. Because your spotter is the same one that got you to disconnect. And meanwhile, you're talking to him. See, this is the way the enemy works. He's going to convince you to disconnect. And then when you need the weight lifted, he's going to be busy doing something else. You all on your own. Oh, you mean you can't handle that? I thought you could handle that. Oh, I'll be over there in a minute. Just keep going right on through that. Don't give up. I'll see you in a little bit. Well, see, the position you're left in, you can't look around. You can't get up because you've got the weight all in your hands. And all you can do is hope you can hold it long enough. See, and that's the thing that I've seen in the gym so many times is that people refuse to call for help. See, they have the weight, and the weight is getting closer to the chest, and they still won't call out. Because they don't want to look like they couldn't lift it. They don't want the shame of saying I was unable. They don't want to be said, look at him, he tried to lift that 400 pounds, and it just crushed him. They're concerned about what people are going to say about him. And they refuse to call out. But look here in Matthew's. Let's look at John. In John 19, you don't have terms of a skull.
Right.
Which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. That's what he did for you and I. See, that was a weight called sin. That you and I couldn't lift. That was a weight that was so heavy that it was crushing us. And we couldn't find relief anywhere. There was no rest. There were no peace. See, if you understand that analogy that I was giving you, see, when you're under that weight, all the squirming left to right and grunting and hoping that you can hold your breath long enough just don't work.
That's right.
See, there's a thing about that's the way sin is. See, when you're under that thing, it pushes you down farther and farther. I heard someone say one time, the thing about sin, it'll take you where you don't want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. You see, it's a thing about when you decide you want to unyoke from Christ. Because his burdens are easy. See, his yoke is easy. His burdens are light. It's because he's carrying the weight. See, when every time you come into a situation when I first come to Christ, I used to wonder why things was happening the way it was happening. Things seemed to have been happening all the time. Well, see, a lot of time when people get saved, they think that that's the end of trouble. That's just the beginning. See, when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, learn of me. He didn't say every now and then think about looking at it, but he said, learn of me. You see, and I have another analogy for you this morning because, see, many times we're all driving vehicles. And there's something that they give you to come along with the vehicle that's very important, but rarely used. It's called a manual. They put it in the glove box. They don't lock it. They just stick it in there. They even tell you it's in there. But when something goes wrong, we won't even look to the manual. It could be simply as a fuse is out. But we'll take it to the dealership. Give him hundreds of dollars to put a fuse in. Him tell you about a diagnostic and he found the trouble and fixed it. And you grumble about what you have to pay. When they equipped you with a manual. Oh, see, you think I'm talking about a car manual. Equipped you with a manual.
Go ahead.
To let you know to take a look in this area. At this very thing, on this very page, and it will fix what's going on. But I don't have time to reach in the glove box and get the manual. Because if I do that, it makes too much sense. I don't have time to read to see what they're telling me to do. See, it's not complex. They even put a little guide in the front. And they put everything in alphabetical order. Not the last time I looked. So if I wanted to find out about the gas, there's a big old G there. I go and it tells me about my fuel, tell me what to put in. It tells me how much it holds. It tells me what, and I can find related things that tell me if the fuel is not, is there something wrong with the fuel coming to the into the engine. If I'm willing to seek after it. But if I just want to reach in my pocket and get my money, give it to somebody else, and then complain about why they took my money, then we do that. So what are you saying, preacher? This is what I'm saying to you this morning. That when I'm yoked with Jesus Christ, when I'm learning of him, I don't look anywhere else. I go to the manual.
That's right.
Whenever a circumstance or situation comes, I got one spotter. I don't have many spotters. I just got one spotter. And when the weight is too heavy, when the weight begin to get heavy, see, I call on him. So what I do is I stay yoked with him so I don't have to bear that. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. So if I'm in the manual and I got a lot of cares, I should be looking over in Peter. But if I'm not reading the manual, I don't know it's in Peter. But if I'm yoked with him, I'm learning of him, then I'm finding out where he tell me. See, he says over in Isaiah, he said, cast your burdens upon me. He told me two places, but if I'm not seeking to take care of those things, guess what? I'm not going to know where to find it.
That's right.
So what I see, he is my burden bearer. He is my heavy load lifter.
Yes,
he is the one that's able, no matter what circumstance or situation is going on, to make me victorious. Amen? And the last thing we're going to look at, and I'm going to take my seat here, is here in Romans, in the 8th chapter. And it's in verses 28 and 29. See, being yoked with him make me understand no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, no matter how it's going on, this is what God is doing. Amen? This right here, we all like this verse. That nobody I've ever met to say they didn't like this verse. That we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that call according to his purpose. Now, the reason you say why, because see, when I'm yoked with him, I have to understand this, that every circumstance and situation, every trial, everything that I face, God has one purpose for it. He's going to keep bringing it. He's going to keep doing it. You're going to keep going through it as long as you're here on this earth. But this is the thing that he said to you here. Learn of me, right? This is what he said. It's all in verse 29. He said this, and we know. Do we know that all things work together for good? To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if I'm yoked with him, I've been called. And I've been called to who purpose?
His purpose.
So when I see that certain things are happening, whose purpose am I called to? See, when I have a situation that comes up on me out of nowhere, who am I called to? When sickness finds me and strike me down, what call it? Who call is it? To his purpose. You say, well, I serve a God that wouldn't do those things. But look what God says he's doing. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. See, this is the thing about it. We didn't do anything to get salvation. We didn't contribute in any of it. Oh, yeah, well, I had faith. No, you didn't. The word of God said he gave you that faith. We have nothing. We had not one thing we could bring to the table and offer. For he said he made his son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, the righteousness that you have came from the Son. The Son swapped his righteousness for your sin. His righteousness for your sin. Now, when I ask you in verse 28, when he says, and we know, I said, do you know? You say, well, preacher, why did you say that? Then why do you keep saying that I'm not the righteousness of him? You keep talking about how you were and how you looked and what you did instead of saying that I am the righteous. He swapped. He was a propitiation. I understand that word being what? Substitution? I mean, he became what you were so you could become what he is.
That's right.
Then if he said that, if I'm yoked with him, what would be the whole purpose if I'm going to continue to live as though I were before he did what he did? Is there anything I can boast of? No. I have nothing I can boast of. Can I say I'm being proud because I look at myself as he looks at me? No. See, I can't stand before God. I can't go before God and pray to him unless he sees me clothed in his son righteousness. But if I'm going to say I can't be righteous, I can't be holy, well, he gave up everything that he had and gave it to you and took what you had so you could be. But at what point are we going to come to say, I know? See, you're not boasting. But see, I can't keep the furrow straight if I'm not straight. See, if I still see myself as I was before he yoked me, then we're never going to get a straight rope.
Right.
But once I see myself as he say I am, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Amen?
Amen.
So in this verse, and we're closing right now, in this verse, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's what the yoking is doing. When he yoked the young oxen to the old oxen. The experienced oxen is not trying to be the only one. He's making many. And every time that he get ready to plow, the farmer always yoked the young with the old because he's looking for more experienced. So God says that every time that you come into a circumstance and situation, know this, it is to conform you to the very image of his son. Every time something happens that doesn't seem like it's good to you, God said it is good. I've worked it out to your good. I'm not working it to your good. He said before the foundations of the world, he took care of it. But what it is doing, it is conforming you to the image of his son. So when I read Romans 12:20, where he says, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. In doing so, it heaps coals of fire upon his head. Well, that translation, if you look for it, it heaps kindness upon his head. I say to you this morning, see yourself as the Lord sees you, as he called you to be. Why you say that? I say this to you and I'm taking my seat. It's because this. The war take place right here in the mind. It doesn't take place anywhere else. So a man thinking in his heart, so is he. Hopefully I said something this morning that will encourage you and bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."